And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Today we're going to be talking to Fred and Freddie. Fred Jerome, author of The Einstein File. His book has a new foreword by Ajamu Baraka. You might remember him. He's vice president of the ran for vice president on behalf of the Green Party, and also by David Suzuki. And we'll be talking to Fred Jerome, we hope, fairly shortly. And later in the show, we're going to talk to Freddie Usabwera, who is a spokesperson for those Rwandans who demonstrated at the G7 protesting the presence there of Paul Kagame, the general president, all-around powerhouse of Rwanda. And I'm very proud of those demonstrators because they got really good attention. They had good signs. It's an important moment for them and for the rest of the world, too, actually. Phil Conlon is here. Phil, there's some things coming up.
Yes, there is. One is tomorrow, and that is the report back from Venezuela's presidential election. That'll be at 7 p.m. at 100 St. George Street. And the delegation of Canadians who went to observe the election included members of UNIFOR, the Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation, the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, the United Church of Canada, Common Frontiers, Rabble CA, and there will also be an American representative, a representative of the Nurses Union of New York State.
That's at Sidney Smith Building, right?
Well, 100 St. George, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 100 right. That's Sid Smith.
That's Sid Smith. And that'll be at 7 o'clock tomorrow at that address, the Sid Smith Building.
And we have another announcement. We'll save it, I think, until after. I think we have Mr. Jerome on the line. Are you there, Fred Jerome?
Yeah, I just got here. Yeah. Yes, Phil.
The ball and you arrived at second base at the same time. You're safe. Thank you very much for joining us. The Einstein File, the FBI's secret war against the world's most famous scientist. And it has a foreword by Ajamu Baraka and Dr. David Suzuki, a legendary figure in Canada and well-known around the world. And Fred Jerome is the author of this book, and it has been reissued, an updated edition. We have, Fred, we have just had the presence here, of the tumultuous presence of the President of the United States, Donald Trump, and many Canadians are trying to understand who this guy is. And I know that we've talked to you in the past, and you made a rather nice analogy with a Nero of Rome. Now we want to bring in, of course, Dr. Einstein. I think you're the only person who could do this. So we're asking you, talk about this phenomena of Donald Trump and how, I suppose, the Einstein perspective on him as somebody who fled Nazism, came to the United States, and tried to understand his new country.
Well, yeah, I think I should say, first of all, I'm glad that your phone call got through because I wasn't sure, given that Trump has decided that Canada is the latest enemy target of the U.S.
And, yes, we're probably going on to some list somewhere. You guys really know how to keep lists.
Well, he's very good at creating a lot of enemies, and that's another discussion sometime. But there's really a building up a kind of atmosphere of fear of other countries and other people in general in this country. It's really interesting.
The ability to create the other, and Canadians, of course, play American baseball, they share hockey players, basketball, all music, all movies. Anything, whatever Washington wants, whatever Hollywood wants, we do it. And then all of a sudden we're foreigners or we're outsiders. Auslanders, I think they say, somewhere else.
And the thing is it goes so far that you're getting constantly told in announcements and posters and so on to beware of other people as well. And when you ride the trains or buses or so on, you're being told that if you see anything strange, report it.
Yes.
And so developing a kind of atmosphere of fear and maybe they say a frightened population is an easily controlled population. But
Now, well, Einstein, your subject, lived through that very similar kind of moment, right?
Actually, he did, and he lived through it in twice, actually, because he left Germany in 1930, the end of 1932. As Hitler was coming to power, or just before Hitler came to power, and then he lived through the beginning of the McCarthy period in the U.S., and he said that the Americans were acting very much like the Germans 20 years earlier, and maybe if he were here today, he'd say something like that today as well.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I think the book that the Einstein file, which refers to the FBI's file on Einstein, which was 1,800 pages long, and virtually didn't mention the word science, but was concerned about all of Einstein's political and social activities, almost all of which were considered dangerous by J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI, and probably would be considered dangerous today, very likely would be considered dangerous today by Trump, who is amazingly like J. Edgar Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a real parallel, and I think if Einstein were here today, he'd say it again.
Well, you know, ultimately, he was also a European and a socialist. He understood what socialism was. He understood what capitalism was. He had opinions. And those opinions are, you know, universal in the sense that he believed in the equality of people, right, and of states, et cetera, and, of course, peaceful resolution of differences. That is, those ideas are fairly alien in the U.S. environment, are they not?
Well, I think the you know, they're in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and you learn them in elementary school.
Oh, sure, that stuff. Yeah.
By the time you get to high school and college, you've been untaught. They've been untaught, and it's really interesting because the education system has become a real eraser in this country, and not only erasing what you were taught maybe in the early grades, but also leaving out a tremendous amount. Of actual history, so that Einstein is taught as a kind of crazy, absent-minded genius, but nothing at all about his politics.
Yeah.
And as I said in an earlier program, his friendship with Paul Robeson for 20 years, and Paul Robeson is totally left out of anything that's taught in the school, so that most people in this country have no idea who he was.
Yes, and Ajemu Baraka, in his introduction, he makes a nice point about Marian Anderson also as being a house guest of Einstein.
That's right.
Being a house guest, African-American woman, man, either way, that was considered suspect in Hoover's world.
Well, I think the first thing to say is that she was barred from she was invited to give a concert in Princeton and barred from the only one decent hotel in town, and so that was never mentioned by Hoover or anything like that. I think when Einstein invited her to his house where he and his stepdaughter and housekeeper lived, she was thrilled and excited and said she would, and then decided she would go back there. Every time she came to Princeton after that, she stayed in his house, according to her in her autobiography. And I think it was,
shouldn't Americans know that? I mean, that's just
absolutely
a kind of important story. The greatest, one of the greatest voices of her time, the great scientist, doing very un-American things, I guess. Hoover would call that un-American. And I guess Trump would.
And that, absolutely. That's the thing. I think that Trump would be following the same pattern. And consider most of Einstein's activities un-American and dangerous, and so that I cannot imagine in my mind what I thought I would do is try to do a kind of a mini debate between Einstein and Trump on some of the issues, because some of the things they talked about were the same issues, and I won't belabor the point. But for example, if you say, for example, if I may, here's Trump talking about immigrants into the United States, right?
Mm.
And he says they do nothing to help the United States. We have people coming into this country, or trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them, but we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are, Trump says. These aren't people, these are animals. Those are all quotes from Trump.
Hmm.
So, and here's Einstein. As I would learn later on, developed countries will always welcome the Einsteins of the world, those individuals whose talents are already recognized and deemed to have value. This welcome doesn't usually extend to the poor and uneducated people seeking to enter the country. But the truth, supported by the facts of history and the richness of immigrant contribution to America's distinction in the world, is that most entrepreneurial, innovative, motivated citizen is the one who has been given an opportunity and wants to repay the debt. So you get to choose which of those you like, and unfortunately only one of those two people is running for office today.
Yes. Yes. And holds it. I have to say, thanks to your book, I know that Einstein also, and you put together a collection of Einstein's writings and speeches. He fought the same fight in Germany, because when people came from the East, there was a real class hostility to them, and he
right.
spoke up at that time. It wasn't as though he's the same guy, and he fought power in Germany and the U.S., who was anti-foreigner, anti-immigrant.
Yeah, he was on the hit list of Hitler when Hitler came to power for that reason. And I would tell you, when he first came to this country to visit, he was planning to go back to Germany in 1932.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he realized his home there had been seized and they had put a wanted poster out with his picture on it with 10,000 marks or something like that, with a lot of money in those days.
Mm-hmm.
He decided he better stay here.
Yeah, when you see a wanted poster with your picture, it is probably time to get and buy a bus ticket.
He's supposed to have said that when he heard it was 10,000 marks, he's supposed to have said, "I didn't know I was worth that much," which is sort of a typical Einstein.
According to Hoover, he's worth a lot more.
Yeah.
You open the book, by the way, with a very nice quote from a play by Brecht on Galileo, where the Pope says, this guy is the light of Europe, Galileo. I mean, he's got a brain. He's respected. What are we going to do with him? And the Inquisitor answers, that's why we got to do something about him.
Yeah, if he weren't that, would we have to go after him if it weren't for that? And I think that's true of Einstein, too. I think in Einstein's case, besides talking about immigrants, Trump wants to get as many immigrants out of the country as possible, send them back where they came from,
mm-hmm.
and because they're dangerous criminals, drug dealers, and so on. But in Einstein's case, he himself was the one that the U.S. government wanted to deport as a dangerous foreigner. So that's exactly what happened to him, and they tried to build up a case against him,
mm-hmm.
without telling anybody, because it would be too embarrassing. And the world knew that this country was going to deport Einstein, until they had.
Although your point is in the book too, and by the way, people really need to read this book. It is so rich in information that nobody's ever seen only because, you know, the principal publishing houses and papers in America didn't share this information, but as is in the book by Fred Jerome, The Einstein File, I want to bring up that Ajamu Baraka, again, he made a nice point, because this is the other half of the equation. You have people like Obama and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and Hillary's husband, I forget his first name, but Clinton, and they represent, using Ajamu Baraka's words, I think they're accurate, American pragmatism, and not any clear commitment to that Constitution you referred to, or the Bill of Rights. And so this is our choice, right? So what was their performance like? They have predecessors. They had Harry Truman.
I'm glad you brought it up, because I was going to say that when I started to consider a debate between Einstein and Trump on these issues, it turns out that Trump is too easy a target, and in reality is not the sole villain of the piece. So for liberals in this country and capital D Democrats, the Democratic Party Democrats, Trump has become the favorite bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't like to admit is that many, if not most, of the policies are continuations and expansions of policies that were started earlier by Democrats and often by Barack Obama.
Yeah.
So this is from today. Let me just read this little piece from today's New York Times. Today's New York Times says, quote, Barack Obama was famously labeled, quote, deporter-in-chief by critics in the immigrant rights community, because he deported in 8 years more immigrants than all previous U.S. presidents combined. And
sobering.
And you can or consider the latest debate over Trump's attack on the press. You know, the Trump's attorney general seized a New York Times reporter's papers and all of his notes and mm-hmm. so on without warning or anything like that. And so people are saying it's a big attack on freedom of the press. But again, the Obama administration was just as harsh in many ways on journalists. And he was the first president to bar reporters from traveling with him on Air Force One on a plane, where they had always been able to get firsthand and immediate interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And he also cracked down on whistleblowers who gave information to the press. And today's New York Times has a piece on the front of the business section. And I won't read the whole thing, but it really is. It talks about the. Let me see. Obama's Attorney General Eric Holder
mm-hmm.
pursued at least 9 leak-related prosecutions. That is, prosecuted people who gave information to the press, leaked information to the press. Again, more than all previous administrations combined. Again, so this was under Obama, and this was going after the press, and it set the pattern. I'm not trying to say Trump is doing more, but the point is it's a continuation of the same policy. So it turned out to be Einstein, not in a debate with Trump, but really a debate. Maybe if I can use this term, a debate against the system.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Einstein's own words about, here's what he said about the press. He said, under existing conditions, private capitalists inevitably control directly or indirectly the main sources of information, press, radio, education. It is thus extremely difficult and indeed, in most cases, quite impossible for the individual citizen to come to objective conclusions and to make intelligent use of his political rights. And that's in the essay Einstein wrote called Why Socialism. Yes. The title will tell you something about Einstein's genius.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're reading that on CIUT Community Radio,
since that's
you
right.
probably wouldn't be invited to read that on some other
right.
state broadcasters or state-friendly broadcasters.
Absolutely. So thank somebody that there are still a few places like this.
Yeah. I want to ask you, too. And you have a brave scientist who's written. I'm very impressed with this. The Einstein File by Fred Jerome. It's a new updated edition. I hope everybody gets a copy. But David Suzuki.
It's published by Baraka Books.
Baraka Books
in Montreal, which is another dangerous Canadian.
Another dangerous. Yes. We hope that Trump can't pronounce Baraka and won't be able to find us. But
right. Okay.
So that Suzuki, he illustrates this point. Because recently he was invited to speak at a university in the Canadian West where the oil patch is. I call it the tar sands. I don't know if we're allowed to say that on air anymore. But anyway, the tar sands. And he said, you know, this is not a good business. It's very, you know, bad for the future of the planet. Mm-hmm. But that was his position. Well, actually, I don't know if they disinvited him, but they certainly did everything in their power. So he's a living illustration of what being a scientist, you can get yourself in a lot of hot water.
That's right. And he started out as a little kid. He was in a detention camp.
Yes.
During World War II.
Which is a euphemism, I think, for a concentration camp.
Exactly.
They detained him and his mom and dad and wouldn't let him go home.
Right.
No, a very brave man, and I bet he was happy to do this introduction because it is important. Scientists do get in trouble when you have powerful state leaders who want conformity, right?
Right, and his introduction, he sort of alludes to the fact that Trump is doing to scientists today what they did to Einstein when Einstein was alive. You know, he's fired. First of all, he said, I don't need any science advisors, Trump. And he's fired most of the scientists from the Environmental Protection Agency. I think they didn't want to. Anyway, it's just more of the same.
Yeah, I want to ask you, make sure we say at this point, too, that the crusade at the time, and that's what they called it, the anti-communist crusade, Albert Einstein and his good friend Thomas Mann and Mann's brother Heinrich Mann, these were men of different, they had their own kind of take on the world. I think Heinrich Mann might himself have been a communist. But it wasn't the distinction that they drew, was it? They weren't members, certainly Mann and Einstein were not members, but they considered communism to be a political phenomena, and you either were for it or you were against it, but you were not anti. In other words, you didn't play it, turn it into a legal war. You either voted for or not. And across Europe, there are communist parties. All the time that the U.S. was treating it like it was something that had to be stamped out and annihilated and, you know, et cetera.
Yeah. No, and Einstein said in at least one conversation that he thought the principles of communism were good. He's not sure about its application anywhere yet. But and he certainly and also defended the Communist Party leaders who were arrested in this country. That's something that is also not being taught in the schools in this country. That during the 1950s there were well over 150 Communist Party officials who were arrested and put in jail because of their ideas in this country, and Einstein was one of the people who defended them. And their attorneys, who were also put in jail, and Einstein defended them as well.
As you point out, the American Civil Liberties Union did not defend them, right. And indeed collaborated with the FBI. Is that right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, I'm not writing them a check. No, do not ask me.
So, there's a lot more to. I know we haven't really talked about the book very much, but I do think that there's stuff in it that people would be quite interested in, that even if they read the first edition, the new edition has new information, including a section on the FBI's little-known virtually unknown treason file, which the FBI has had for nearly 100 years. And among the more than 22,000 people in the treason file is none other than Albert Einstein.
Guilty of treason. Or suspected of treason.
Well, right. No, whatever, they really won't give you any reason as to why people are included in the treason file, but they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't this a lot of nomenclature? Don't you suppose that today's FBI may have altered the language, but aren't they, there's some euphemism for that idea? And it probably still includes people that are highly respected.
Yeah, well,
frankly, deserving of respect, but they are considered dangerous.
At one point in the 1930s and into the 40s, the FBI had what they call a det-com file, meaning detention as communists. Hmm. That is to say, if there was going to be any kind of national emergency, these are the people who are going to be arrested and put in concentration camps or detention camps, whatever word you like. And there were thousands of people on this list. And it came out that they had that list, and someone in the Roosevelt administration ordered Hoover to drop it. So he simply changed the name of the file to something else. And he said, okay, we don't have the det-com file anymore.
And then he was like, with his old password problems, he has to remember what new name he gave that.
So I think
he probably wrote it on his wrist.
It's possible that the treason file, which virtually nobody even knows about that it exists, but it's possible that this could be a kind of det-com file. That is, the people on that in the treason file, if there were an emergency, mm-hmm. whatever that means.
Yes.
Maybe it might mean a war. Maybe it might mean something where Trump or somebody decided, well, we better put a bunch of people in detention centers. The treason file would be, even though some of the people in the pile are no longer alive, like Einstein, but there are many people who are still alive.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, this is in your book, and I'd never seen this anywhere else. You tell the story of Eleanor Roosevelt, who briefly had a radio show, an NBC.
Correct.
And wasn't her first guest Albert Einstein?
On her first nationwide television program. It wasn't radio. It was 1952. It was the first nationwide television program on NBC.
And it was Eleanor Roosevelt.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Who was better than Franklin.
Right. And her first, one of the guests, the most important guest on that first program was Albert Einstein.
Yeah. But don't you think that's also one of those things that would cause a fever in the FBI offices saying, this has got to stop?
It did. As a matter of fact, it was the very next morning. This was on a Sunday evening, and that next Monday morning, J. Edgar Hoover sent out a memo to all of his offices saying, send me everything you've got on Einstein that we could use against him. The very next morning.
He
didn't like Eleanor Roosevelt either. But,
yeah. And I think I got it from the Einstein file. I've read it so often that I'm sure I did. But she was going to have Paul Robeson was going to be her next guest, but NBC said not a good idea.
NBC would not allow Paul Robeson to be on it, and it's important to note that Eleanor Roosevelt said nothing.
Because she thought she would end up on the treason list.
Well, exactly.
Or traitor, I forget what you call it.
She could easily have protested, but
yes.
She didn't.
Yes, that's the fatal moment for
right.
Liberals, as we referred to earlier. Well, Fred Jerome, it's a great pleasure to talk to you. I'm so glad that you've updated this, the Einstein file, the FBI's secret war. It's not secret anymore against the world's most famous scientist. I'm sorry? You go ahead.
Thanks to Baraka Books also, because they took the initiative to publish it.
Yeah, well, they seem to be very decent people. Fred, thank you very, very much. Well, we look forward to talking to you.
Thank you, Phil, very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Fred Jerome. And it is a wonderful book. It is full of amazing details.